I went into the kitchen to wash my hands and was using the towel hanging behind the door when I noticed something odd. There was a subdued hum of conversation, the low rumble of many voices. It seemed unusual in a pub at 2 a.m., and I looked through the partly open door into the bar. The place was crowded. In the light of a single weak electric bulb, I could see a row of men drinking at the counter while others sat behind foaming pint pots on the wooden settles against the walls. Mr. Worley grinned as I turned to him in surprise.
"Didn't expect to see this lot, did you?"
"Well, I'll tell you, the real drinkers don't come in till after closing time."
"Aye, it's a rum un. Every night I lock front door, and these lads come in the back."
I pushed my head round the door for another look. It was a kind of rogue's gallery of Garraby. All the dubious characters in the town seemed to be gathered in that room, the names which regularly enlivened the columns of the weekly newspaper with their activities. Drunk and disorderly, non-payment of rates, wife-beating, assault and battery. I could almost see the headings as I went from face to face. I had been spotted. Beery cries of welcome ran out, and I was suddenly conscious of all eyes fixed on me in the smoky atmosphere. Above the rest, the voice said,
"Are you going to have a drink?"
What I wanted most was to get back to my bed, but it wouldn't look so good just to close the door and go. I went inside and over to the bar. I seemed to have plenty of friends there, and within seconds was in the centre of a merry group with a pint glass in my hand. My nearest neighbour was a well-known Garraby worthy called Gobber Newhouse, an enormously fat man who had always seemed to be able to get through life without working at all. He occupied his time with drinking, brawling, and gambling. At the moment he was in a mellow mood, and his huge, sweating face, pushed close to mine, was twisted into a comradely leer.
"Now then, Harriet, how's dog trade?" he inquired, courteously.
I had never heard my profession described in this way and was wondering how to answer when I noticed that the company were looking at me expectantly. Mr. Worley's niece, who served behind the bar, was looking at me expectantly too.
6 pints of best bitty, 6 shillings, please," she said, clarifying the situation.
I fumbled the money from my pocket. Obviously, my first impression that somebody had invited me to have a drink with them had been mistaken. Looking round the faces, there was no way of telling who had called out, and as the beer disappeared, the group round the bar thinned out like magic. The members just drifted away as though by accident, till I found myself alone. I was no longer an object of interest, and nobody paid any attention as I drained my glass and left. The glow from the pig pen showed through the darkness of the yard, and as I crossed over, the soft rumble of pig and human voices told me that Mr. Worley was still talking things over with his sow. He looked up as I came in, and his face in the dim light was ecstatic.
"Mr. Harriet," he whispered, "isn't that a beautiful sight?"
He pointed to the little pigs who were lying motionless in a layered heap, sprawled over each other without plan or pattern, eyes tightly closed, stomachs bloated with marigold's bountiful fluid. "It is indeed," I said, prodding the sleeping mass with my finger, but getting no response beyond the lazy opening of an eye. "You'd have to go a long way to beat it." And I did share his pleasure. It was one of the satisfying little jobs. Climbing into the car, I felt that the nocturnal visit had been worthwhile, even though I had been duped into buying a round with no hope of reciprocation. Not that I wanted to drink any more. My stomach wasn't used to receiving pints of ale at 2 a.m., and a few whimpers of surprise and indignation were already coming up. But I was just a bit ruffled by the offhand, professional way those gentlemen in the taproom had handled me. But, winding my way home through the empty, moonlit roads, I was unaware that the hand of retribution was hovering over that happy band. This was, in fact, a fateful night, because 10 minutes after I had left, Mr. Worley's pub was raided. Perhaps that is a rather dramatic word, but it happened that it was the constable's annual holiday, and the relief man, a young policeman who did not share Mr. Dalloway's liberal views,
had come up on his bicycle and pinched everybody in the place. The account of the court proceedings in the Darabee and Hulton Times made good reading. Gobber Newhouse and company were all fined £2 each and warned as to their future conduct. The magistrates, obviously a heartless lot, had remained unmoved by Gobber's passionate protestations that the beer and the glasses had all been purchased before closing time and that he and his friends had been lingering over it in light conversation for the subsequent 4 hours. Mr. Worley was fined £15, but I don't think he really minded. Marigold and her litter were doing well.